You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Brace yourself, it's Wall Street Week.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. It's truth time for the financial industry. This week, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Bank of America, and JP Morgan Chase all report their second quarter earnings. All eyes will be on the banking sector to see if things have improved. Sam Stovall is Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. He joins us live. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Stacey.
Sam, what do we expect to hear from the banking sector this week?
I think we're going to be hearing things that are a lot less bad than they have been in the past. This sector has gone through seven quarters of losses, not just year-over-year earnings declines, but actual losses. And our belief is that this quarter will be the first in which we actually see an increase.
So some good news.
Some good news, yes. Actually, when you look at all the industries within the financial sector, we're only going to be looking at two that we think will actually see losses, those being the regional banks and more of a conglomerate multi-sector grouping. But everybody else is expected to show green ink.
Some other big companies are reporting earnings this week, including GE, Google, Yum! Brands. What kind of news are we expecting out of those sectors?
I think we're expecting to see a similar situation in which the S&P 500 is expected to post a 17% year-over-year decline, but that's half as bad as what we got in the first quarter, and we expect the third quarter to be even better. So it's a continuing lessening of the free fall that we've seen over the last several quarters.
So looking at the second quarter as a whole, what does this mean for the economy? Where are you seeing the economy right now?
I believe that this is a confirmation of what our economist is projecting, that the recession will probably end early in the fourth quarter of this year, and that each successive quarterly number that we're going to be getting, the second quarter GDP will be coming out shortly, we should see a lessening decline than compared with the first and second quarters, and also that will probably be a flat quarter in the third, and then possibly even an improvement, a gain of 1% in the fourth quarter of this year.
Sam Stovall with S&P Equity Research, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the markets are mixed this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.3% to 8,176. The NASDAQ down about 0.3% to 1,749. The S&P 500 up 0.3% to 881. A gloomy trading day in Asia. The Nikkei was down 2.5%, its ninth straight loss. One bright spot, news of a merger brewing between beverage giants Suntory and Kirin. The union would create one of the largest food and drink companies in the world. Financial institutions may be looking pretty good on the whole, but as Sam said, they're not all out of the weeds. Lender CIT is desperately trying to prevent a run on its funds. You might not have heard of CIT. That's because the 100-year-old lender specializes in financing for businesses, not consumers. But the company's troubles could have some big implications for Joe Q Public. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
CIT provides crucial day-to-day financing to the likes of Dunkin' Donuts and other retailers. Its lines of credit are used to fund inventory and make payroll. CIT said in a statement Sunday that it's in talks with government banking regulators to improve its cash position. The bank's already gotten more than $2 billion from the U.S. Treasury's TARP program. Further financing from the FDIC, though, doesn't look very likely. Regulators appear to think CIT's demise wouldn't pose systemic risk to the banking system because small businesses could get financing from other banks. But management consultant Peter Cohen doesn't think that's very likely.
They are very reluctant to take on the risk of lending to a small business, which is probably suffering because small businesses in general don't have the excess resources to help tide them through tough times as larger businesses might.
As many as 300,000 retailers and hundreds of manufacturing firms could be at risk if CIT's lines of credit and other financing services go away. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report for Monday, July 13th at marketplace.org. The House of Representatives is about to release its version of health care reform. Of course, reform means different things to different people. And as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, working out exactly what the health care overhaul will look like is taking longer than some thought.
The House's health care bill was supposed to come out early last week, then Wednesday, then Thursday. And well, here we are. But Karen Davenport from the Center for American Progress says these delays are not necessarily a sign of trouble.
I think what we're seeing is members grappling with the question that no one had to face squarely until the last couple of weeks, which is how do we pay for health care reform?
Turns out that's tough. Moderates in the House are worried it could cost too much, and in the Senate, Democrats are fighting amongst themselves about whether to tax health benefits in order to raise the money they need. And time is not on their side.
If they're going to have a bipartisan bill, I think that they need to make progress between now and August recess.
That means both the House and the Senate need to put concrete plans on the table, and they have just 25 days to get there. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Federal prosecutors and the Swiss bank UBS were supposed to have faced off in court today. The government wants the names of American clients of the bank who were suspected of not paying taxes on their accounts. But yesterday, the two sides asked to delay the trial while they try to reach a settlement out of court. Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll looks at what's at stake in the dispute.
UBS already paid almost $800 million in fines, and it released the names of 250 clients to settle a U.S. criminal case back in February. The bank was accused of helping American clients evade taxes. Now the federal government wants the names of more than 50,000 account holders. Raymond Baker is director of Global Financial Integrity, a Washington think tank. He says if the U.S. prevails, the payoff could be substantial.
You can make a calculation of how much in taxes has been foregone, and that would be in the billions of dollars.
The Swiss government says it's illegal for the company to release the names. Michael Malloy is a law professor from the University of the Pacific. He says squealing also goes against Switzerland's financial fiber.
Bank secrecy for them is as much a fundamental right as, you know, Fourth Amendment protection from search and seizure would be here.
Switzerland may be known for chocolate and cheese, but secrecy is the real key to its economy. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Big Mac is leaving London. McDonald's announced over the weekend it's moving its European headquarters to Switzerland. Analysts say high taxes are driving the fast food giant out of Britain. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
McDonald's is the latest large American corporation to join the mini exodus out of the UK. Kraft, Procter & Gamble, Colgate-Palmolive and Yahoo have made the move within the last couple of years. They've all relocated their European headquarters from London to Geneva. McDonald's insists it's not trying to dodge taxes, but many observers say the decision must be tax-related. Matthew Sinclair is spokesman for the Taxpayers Alliance. He says there's been a recent change here in the treatment of income from trademarks, patents and franchises. McDonald's must be worried.
A lot of their earnings come from intellectual property, which is sold to franchisees. And that is facing a particular threat of double taxation if they have their European headquarters in the UK.
McDonald's European business is critically important to the company. Its sales are growing here much faster than in the US. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Chicago is bidding to host the Olympics in 2016. And you can bet whatever city ends up being the host, lots of fingers are crossed, the economy will be in much better shape by then. London will be home to the Summer Games in 2012, and planners there are having trouble with the sponsorship game. From London, Christopher Worth reports.
The Canadian technology firm Nortel had signed a sponsorship deal for the London Olympics worth at least $64 million. But earlier this year, the company filed for bankruptcy, leaving it unable to fulfill its contract. Now, American technology company Cisco Systems is taking Nortel's place, but with one catch, they're only picking up about half the tab. Nigel Geach is with the research group Sports Marketing Surveys. He says the downturn is causing sponsors to make sure they're getting as much bang for their buck as possible. But
if you look at the figures, the actual total values of sponsorship hasn't changed. But of course, you know, a lot of the sponsorships are multi-year sponsorships. So we may get a change in the next couple of years where some of the sponsorships are coming to the end of their term and not renewing.
London hopes not. Right now, the city is running about $200 million short of its target of over $1 billion in sponsorship dollars. In London, this is Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
In New York this morning, Frontier Airlines has a date in bankruptcy court. The Denver-based discount airline is hoping a judge will allow it to be purchased by Republic Airways. That's the same company that just snapped up the cash-strapped Midwest Airlines. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more now on what could soon be the biggest airline you've never heard of.
Republic is the airline you fly when you have, say, a Delta or United ticket, and you have to get from a small airport in a place like Grand Rapids or Savannah to a major hub like Atlanta or Chicago. Most people don't realize they're flying Republic, but get this.
In some quarters over the past couple of years, they've been the most profitable airline in the world, and they're generally in the top five or six.
That's Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly. He says the reason Republic is so profitable is because its business model is virtually risk-free. It doesn't pay for fuel, it doesn't pay for marketing, and it doesn't have to worry if its planes are full.
Of course, long-term, they want their mainline partners to be successful because that's the only way they'll continue to give them business. But on a short-term basis, they're just paid to fly those aircraft whenever and wherever the mainline airlines want them to fly.
That model works right now, but Kaplan says nothing lasts forever.
The airline industry is shrinking, and that's not good for anybody. And if you have less flying in general, you're going to have a little bit less of a need for regional flying.
Enter Republic's high-profile bids for Midwest and Frontier. Airline consultant George Hamlin says the industry is changing fast. If Republic doesn't want to get caught in a holding pattern, it has to diversify.
The little guy here is light on his feet, is solvent, and has the cash to do this.
More importantly, Hamlin says, not diversifying could be much riskier.
Just waiting to see what happens and, in effect, playing musical chairs and hoping that there's one to sit down, and when the music stops, that's a lot less strategic in my mind.
Republic would more than double in size with the acquisition of these airlines, but how easy will it be for David to become Goliath? Kaplan says it shouldn't be too hard, as long as Republic doesn't meddle too much in the operations of Frontier and Midwest.
There are regional airlines that have tried to raise their own profile, the equivalent of putting Republic on the side of an airplane and trying to sell those flights on their own, and the results have not been very good.
For now, Frontier and Midwest will keep their names, but the change may ruffle the feathers of some of Republic's current partners. The big carriers who made Republic what it is will now be in direct competition in some markets. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Long been at the forefront of solar technology. Today, a group of German companies meets in Munich to discuss translating that know-how into a $500 billion renewable energy project. Brett Neely has more.
Germany has become a solar power thanks to labs like the Helmholtz Center in Berlin. Researcher Stefan Gahl opens a large black box known as a sun simulator.
So you have somehow an artificial sun above your sample.
Though German researchers lead the field, the country's often gloomy skies limit how much solar power can be produced here. The Berlin-based Desertec Foundation thinks it has the answer: solar power plants in the deserts of the Middle East and North Africa. The nonprofit says more than 15% of Europe's energy needs could be met using existing technology. Power would be sent to Europe via underwater cables. Desertec board member Max Schoen says this isn't just about clean and cheap electricity for Europe. It's also about helping the region develop.
This is a holistic concept. It's not only secure energy. It's not only climate change. It's also about migration. It's also about water. It's also about poverty.
Schoen says some of the electricity would power desalination plants in North Africa and the Middle East to make fresh water for the arid region. And he says the project would create well-paying jobs there to stop the brain drain of skilled workers going north to Europe. Today's conference is hosted by the insurance company Munich Re, which is worried climate change will hurt its business. Other companies signing on to the cooperation agreement include German powerhouses like Deutsche Bank and Siemens. Economist Claudia Kempfert says this is no short-term project.
It's not a project for the next 15 or 20 years. It's a project for 50 years, and that's a major difference to many other projects.
Despite the plan's grand scale, Kempfert says it's technically and economically feasible, even with the eye-popping $500 billion price tag over the next 40 years.
And it's not that large amount if we look at numbers for the financial crisis we are spending right now.
Desertec says the first solar facilities in North Africa could be operating within 10 years. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
The Chicago Cubs may be declaring bankruptcy. The Tribune Company, which owns the team, would use a bankruptcy to help speed up a possible sale of the Cubs. The Tribune Company is reportedly hoping to fetch around $900 million for the team. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.